There are two seasons in Minnesota, right? Winter and? I knew you could help me with this sermon. You know that. And right now we're in the thick of road construction. There seem to be detour signs pretty much everywhere. I can think of three typical responses to these detour. Raise your hand if any of these responses apply to you. Frustration. I don't have time for this. Thought there'd be some of you out there. Apprehension. Where's this going to take me, and how much out of the way will I have to go? Raise your hand. And then finally, hopefulness. What new adventure will I experience along the way? Any hopefulness people out there? I knew there'd be a few. Thank you. Most of us, let's be honest, fall into that first and second boot camps. The possibility of hopefulness and a new adventure is usually the furthest thing from our minds. Detours don't only happen on highways, of course. There are plenty of them in life, too. So name some of the detours we experience in our lives. What are? Raise up your hand and share some of these. Yes? Illness. What else? The death of a loved one. A change in jobs. Absolutely. What's that? Divorce. Yeah, you know, there's lots of detours along the way. Some of them are very hard. How about a car accident? As Lisa headed off to Good Earth Village on Friday afternoon, she had no idea that she was going to get rear-ended by a guy going 40 to 50 miles an hour. Bet your money was texting or not paying attention to the road. And when she sent a text to Jason, Shelley, and I on Friday night, she thought that she might be a bit stiff or so on Saturday morning, but that was all. And when she went to urgent care on Saturday, she didn't know they were going to send her on to the ER and treat her for the possibility of concussion. You know what I think? I think some people will do almost anything to get out of writing a sermon. No, that's not what I think. This is a detour. And like it or not, detours are something all of us experience and on an all too regular basis. Most of them are small, minor inconveniences, but some of them are big, and they can change our lives. The story of Jonah is a detour story. I see it as more of a parable than an actual historical event. And as such, it gives us a lot to chew on. God taps Jonah on the shoulder, but Jonah doesn't want to go. Arise, go to Nineveh. No, Lord, I won't. Why? Because he doesn't like the Ninevites. Nobody does. They're the bad guys. They had invaded the northern kingdom of Israel and decimated it. Asking an Israelite to go to Nineveh would be like asking a Holocaust survivor to go to Germany after World War II. Lord, you've got to be kidding. Jonah thinks he's running away from God, but he's not. He can't get away from God. And suddenly God puts a detour in his path in the form of a raging storm. Well, as you know this story, and as we read through and listen to this story again, what do you notice about it? And what do you wonder about what it's saying to us today? Tell me some of these things. What do you think about Jonah? What do you wonder about? Yes? Yeah, what's it like in the whale? Okay, absolutely. I've wondered about that from time to time. What else? What do you wonder about Jonah? What do you think about? Yes?
How could he
Say it again about the raging storm.
How could he sleep
in the middle of that raging storm? Yeah, no guilty conscience on his part. He thinks he's a long ways away from God. He sleeps better than I do, by the way. Maybe that says something about my conscience. Were you going to say, Dorothea? Yeah, why did he think, what was in his mind that he thought, if I just go in the opposite direction, that'll work. I'm sure that'll work. I think the Israelites had a sense that God was kind of in their land, and maybe they kind of owned this God, and God was their God, and only their God. And suddenly, the story says God's a bigger God. Yeah, what else? Good points. Yes, Jim? It's a funny story. It's a funny story, you know. You get to the end of the book, and God caused a plant to grow up, and then the plant withers and dies, and Jonah feels all bad for himself. I lost my plant. I lost my shade.
The other one is when he finally goes to preach to Nineveh, he goes about the equivalent of flea market out there.
Yeah.
And he gives like a short sermon.
Yes, he gives a 9-word sermon, if I remember right. 9-word sermon, tremendously. I'm going to have more than 9 words today, by the way. But tremendously affected. It is a comedy, you know, if you look at it that way. It's kind of a tragic comedy in many ways. Somebody back here. Yes?
He felt guilty enough to want to die, or to commit that when he was going against God, throwing him into the water, it's all over.
Yeah, he felt guilty enough to die. I don't know if any of us ever felt that bad, but we felt guilty, haven't we? Really guilty at times, and there's no hope. There's no point in going on. Yeah. Yes. He was in the belly of that whale 3 days, or that big fish, 3 days and three nights. And so certainly that theme gets picked up. It's like a death, isn't it? It's like a death. And then when he gets spit out on dry ground, it's like a resurrection. So that theme gets picked up in the New Testament and talked about. You people are good. This is fun. Talking together and sermonizing is more important than we might think, because it's not just about a pastor telling you what to think and do, is it? Don't say too much about that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Jonah will face other detours along the way, and you've been alluding to many of them. He ends up in the belly of that big fish, and before it's over, he seems to have a change of heart, mostly. Another detour. The fish spits him up on dry ground. And Jonah hears God's call again. Arise, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And this time he goes, and he proclaims a message 9 words long, fire and brimstone, 40 days more, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And still another detour. And what's that? Nineveh repents. Despite what Jonah has said, disaster is averted and the people are saved. Clearly, Jonah does not like detours. And in particular, he doesn't like Yahweh being gracious and merciful towards those big, bad Ninevites. Really, God, aren't we your people? Why show mercy to a bunch of folks who clearly don't deserve it? And the last verse of the book of Jonah, if you may remember, is a question. And God is the one who's asking it. It goes like this. Jonah, why shouldn't I be concerned about the Ninevites? I love them too. They hardly know their right hand from their left. Clearly, they need my help just as much as anyone in Israel. Our story ends with Jonah scratching his head. And I'm sure Jonah's readers are wondering what in the world they're supposed to do in response to this gracious and loving God. Detours are hard. They can lead to frustration. I don't have time for this. They can lead to apprehension. Where's this going to take me? And so here's the question. In the midst of the frustration and the apprehension, is hopefulness even a remote possibility? Are we able to imagine that God can take a difficult situation and turn it into something good, and maybe even some sort of new adventure. Paul writes in Romans, we know that in all things work together for good for those who love God. I've always liked this verse, and I suppose it applies to detours too, but boy, it's hard to believe it some days. Perspective is key. If we're ever going to believe it, perspective is key. Jonah's world is small, intolerably small. He gets some badly needed perspective when he's in the belly of that fish. He gets even more perspective when the Ninevites turn back to God. He doesn't necessarily like what he sees, but God gives it to him anyway. Well, like Jonah, our world can be small too. And in searching for perspective, we look not only at the world immediately in front of us, though that's kind of the world we live in most days, but hopefully we look at the larger world around us. And we may even get a glimpse of God, what God sees along the way. There's a video clip called Zoom, which is all about perspective. I invite you now to take a couple minutes and take a look at what perspective can mean. Right, what did you notice in that video? What did you wonder about? Yes, Ron? It does kind of sound ominous. Yeah, there was a little bit more that we cut out of the way. We don't have all the fine technological tools, but it does sound a little ominous, doesn't it? Yeah, what else? What did you notice? What did you wonder about? Yes? Yeah, the broader the perspective, the more you see. Yeah, and when's it going to end? Absolutely. What was next? Yeah, you can Google this at home and see the last 22 seconds. Yes?
Only God can see it all.
Yeah. Good answers. What else did you wonder about or notice? You know, I found it humbling. It just kept going on. And there was so much I didn't see, so much I'm not even sure I wanted to see, but it drew me in. And when I did see it, it did feel like that there's a God out there that is holding it all together, and I wanted to put my trust in that God in the midst of my humility. So I suspect you'll think about other things too as you go along and think about perspective. As we journey through life, we're going to come up against detours, and whether they lead to frustration, apprehension, or perhaps even hopefulness has a lot to do with our perspective. The story of Jonah reminds us that God's love is for all people, and that includes you and me. God's most important work, and we hear it more than once in the book, is to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Like Jonah and Israel, we are called to share that love with a world that badly needs it. Sometimes we end up with detours in our path. And whether God causes these detours or simply allows them, I don't know. But I do know that God uses them. And God uses them to enlarge our perspective and maybe even to give us a glimpse of things from God's point of view. Friends, if you find yourself in one of these detours right now, take heart. Wake up from your sleep. Ask God to help you to see. And then hang on, because the detour might just change your life. Amen.